Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Today we are blessed to celebrate the installation of our next vicar here at Our Savior as he continues his study and preparation for the pastoral ministry. We did so at the 8 a.m. service, and we will gather together this evening to rejoice. Yesterday, in a similar way, our sister congregations in Kimball and Burns celebrated the ordination of a man into the office of the Holy Ministry and his installation as their next pastor, an occasion that was filled with joy and gladness. These are great occasions, worthy of celebration, marked with festivities. To a greater extent, with the ordination and installation of a man in the office of the ministry, and to a lesser extent, with the installation of a vicar, but joyful and festive all the same. We do well to celebrate these occasions. It is befitting the honorable office of the ministry. But today we also do well to remember exactly whom our Lord calls to fill this office, and whom our Lord calls through this office, and what our Lord uses to call them. When he began his public ministry, our Lord Jesus Christ did not call some of the Pharisees, the chief priests and the scribes, the religious leaders of the Jews respected by the people, to be his 12 apostles, to preach the fulfillment of the prophets. Nor did he travel to Athens or Rome to call the greatest philosophers or Caesar to minister to the Gentiles and proclaim that the Savior of the world had come. Christ did not seek out kings and princes, philosophers and wise men, warriors and athletes to be his ministers, no. Rather, as we heard this morning, our Lord Jesus called fishermen to leave behind their nets and boats in order to follow him and become fishers of men. And then from there he called men like those, questionable, men of similar backgrounds to be his disciples, tax collectors and zealots, just to name a few. And furthermore, these men, these 12 men, handpicked by the Lord Jesus to preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth, remained men. They did not undergo a complete and total perfection of their human nature upon their calling. Rather, as we read throughout the Gospels and beyond, even as they followed Christ, they still quarreled with each other, got angry with each other, were filled with doubts and fears, all leading up to their collective denial and abandonment of their Lord Jesus, who called them to be his witnesses. And even after the Lord rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, these men still fell short. Recall how even Peter, was afraid for a while to eat with Gentile Christians because of those Jews who opposed the gospel. These are the men whom Christ called to follow him, to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, tax collectors, zealots, fishermen, sinners. In a word, Jesus' choice of men to serve as preachers seems a bit foolish. But the ways of God are foolish to the world. The world expects that it's the rich and powerful, the wise and the mighty, that are the chosen ones of God. Just as the world surely expects God to be found in what is impressive and powerful. Yet where does God tell us that he is found? We heard today. He was not in the strong wind that tore apart the mountains and broke the rocks. He was not found in the earthquake. He was not found in the fire. But he was found in the low whisper. As we heard last week, he was found in the womb of a lowly virgin from Nazareth in Galilee. He was found wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger because there was no place for him in the inn. He was found receiving sinners and eating with them, eating and drinking in the homes of tax collectors. He was found bound and beaten before the chief priest and the Roman governor, sentenced to die a criminal's death. He was found hanging on the cross, crowned with thorns. And today he is found in water, poured over the heads of everyone from little babies all the way up to elderly adults. He is found in bread and wine that are here to be eaten and drunk by those who gather in his house. He is found in words that were written centuries, even millennia ago, words preached in a multitude of languages today, words of forgiveness spoken by weak and foolish men who need that exact same forgiveness for themselves. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is lowly and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring that to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He called to be his 12 disciples, tax collectors, zealots, fishermen, sinners all, that they might preach the wisdom of the cross that shames the wise, preach the strength of the cross that shames the strong, preach the glory of the cross that shames and brings to nothing all that the world holds to be glorious and powerful and something. And to this day, he still calls ordinary, sinful men, foolish and weak in and of themselves, to continue and preach his saving gospel to the very ends of the earth. And it's through this word of the gospel, the word of the cross, that Jesus is still calling sinners, still calling weak and foolish people in this world to follow him, to be strong and wise in him. He calls helpless little babies to himself in holy baptism and makes them heirs of his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. He holds up a little child as the model for what it means to be one of his believers, to be a Christian. He welcomes sinners back to himself with open arms. Even more than that, he goes out and he seeks sinners who are so lost that they are beyond any kind of earthly hope. And he continues to forgive his wayward sinners daily and richly. Even those who have sinned against him 70 times, seven times. Yes, those who have abandoned him and denied him. To the world, this is all foolish. To call babies and little children to be the model members of his flock is foolish. To choose sinners that nobody else in this world could possibly love to be his disciples is foolish. And to welcome those same sinners back time and time again, no matter how many times they have fallen, offended him, denied him, or betrayed him, is foolish. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus would say these words to his 12 apostles, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." And so if the world has called Jesus foolish and weak, what do you think they call you for following him? Make no mistake, the world thinks you are a fool too. They think you're a fool for being here this morning, when you could be almost anywhere else doing almost anything else. They think you're a fool for singing songs and speaking prayers to a God whom you've never seen with your own eyes, listening to an ordinary man wearing strange clothes talk about visions of earthquakes and fires and miraculous catches of fish. They think you're a fool for bringing your children here to this little bowl of water and having their foreheads washed with water, thinking and believing that in that washing they are receiving the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. They think you're a fool for eating a little bit of bread and drinking a little sip of wine and believe that you are eating and drinking the body and blood of God himself who became man. And by that eating and drinking, you have the strengthening of your faith and the forgiveness of sins unto life everlasting. Yes, those in the world who do not believe this will remind you day in and day out just how foolish it all seems. How foolish it is to believe that God created everything that exists out of nothing in just 6 days by means of his word alone. How foolish it seems to believe that the man Jesus of Nazareth is truly God, and that his death as a criminal paid for the sins of the whole world, and that he actually physically rose again from the dead, never to die again. How foolish it seems to believe that that man Jesus, who is God, is actually here, present with you right now in his word and sacrament. How foolish it seems to believe that Jesus will come again with glory on the last day to judge both the living and the dead, that he will condemn unbelievers to hell eternally, but receive believers into his everlasting kingdom. The world hears all of that and scoffs. It's foolishness, they say. So why do it? Why be that kind of fool? Why leave behind the things of this world, all the earthly desires and pleasures and possessions, to be here? To follow a man who claimed to be God, who lived 2,000 years ago halfway across the world? Why? Because while the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You see, it is only when you realize that you are perishing, not just temporally, but eternally in body and soul, that the foolish message of the cross becomes the powerful word of eternal life. It's only when you realize that you are one step, even a moment away from death, and that eternal damnation in hell is all too real, and what you deserve for offending the holy God, that the word of the cross is received as the power of God, able to rescue your soul forever. So long as you fail to recognize that you are indeed perishing in body and soul, the word of the cross will remain folly. But by the law, that law which has revealed the reality of your sins against God and the terrible everlasting punishment those sins deserve, you are here, having been brought to your knees, crying out in repentance because you are perishing. And here in this place, Christ is present, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And in this place, he stretches out his nail-pierced hands to you and speaks the word of the cross, saying, "Do not be afraid." The same words that he spoke to Peter on that boat in the Sea of Galilee long ago. When Simon saw that miraculous catch of fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees in terror, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." In that moment, Peter realized that he was perishing. Yes, he had just dragged aboard those boats, the kind of catch that most fishermen can only dream about. Yet Peter was filled with fear. Fear over what he had seen. Not the rising waters, not that avalanche of fish on the boat, but he had seen Jesus. With a word, yes, even with a mere thought, doing something that could not be explained by any earthly means. He saw Jesus, the man in his boat, and realized by his word and work that that man was no mere master alone, but the Lord God Almighty, the Holy One, before whom Peter was nothing more than a sinful man. Kneeling before the Almighty God as a sinner, Peter knew that he was perishing. And so the only thing that he could cry out was, "Depart from me, for sinners cannot abide in the presence of the Holy God and live." But in that moment of terror over sin and death, in that moment when Peter rightly realized that he was perishing, Jesus spoke in response, "Do not be afraid." Though it is true sinful man cannot see God and live, when sinners come to see and feel their own unworthiness, the answer is not to flee from Christ, no, but rather flee to him, for he was crucified for you. He, the man Jesus Christ, is the one mediator between God and man, who gave himself as a ransom for all. That means that he, Jesus, God Most High in human flesh, took on your sins and the sins of the whole world. He was counted as the sinful man and therefore bore the weight of the punishment for the sins of the world. On the cross, he suffered everything that we sinners deserved in order that we might be declared righteous in God's sight and enjoy every blessing bestowed on God's children. It's when the law has done its work, when it has brought sinners to confess that they are perishing, whether that be Peter in the boat long ago or us here in Cheyenne, Wyoming today, or sinners of any time and of any place, then the gospel, the word of the cross alone, comes in to bring comfort, to bring peace. Do not be afraid. Peter needed that gospel, that word on the boat of the Sea of Galilee long ago, and he heard it, for Jesus was there to speak it to him. You who have come here to this place today, confessing your sins, you need that powerful word of the cross also. And Christ Jesus is here to speak it to you. And he does so through the called and ordained ministers of Christ, whom he has called, whom he has appointed to preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block and folly to unbelievers, but to those who are being saved, the power and wisdom of God. That's why you're here today, and that's why you'll come back day after day, week after week, regardless of how foolish all of this seems to be to the unbelieving world. You are here because Christ has called you here to listen to him, to listen to his word, to listen to the word of the cross, the word by which God continues to call and claim men and women from all nations to be members of his kingdom and heirs of heaven. And that's also why the ordination and installation of a pastor, and yes, the installation of a vicar too, is an occasion for great joy and gladness and celebration. For this marks the continuation of the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified, the preaching of the word of the cross, which is God's power and wisdom. Yes, that word is preached by ordinary sinful men, men who are indeed foolish and weak in themselves, but men who have been, or God willing, will soon be called to proclaim the word that is nothing less than the power of God and the wisdom of God unto salvation for all who believe. So the world thinks this is all foolishness. So what? To us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For by faith, we know that Jesus has called us to follow him. He has caught us by that word of the cross. He has gathered us into the holy Christian church, and he is bringing us to everlasting life in heaven. And the glory and the joy and the celebration we will experience there far surpasses anything this world has to offer. In the name of Jesus, please stand. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.